Hey, folks, devoted listeners, angry creditors. Thanks for tuning in to the Pain Goat Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. Co-hosting tonight is Dr. Comics himself, Jason Tondro. How you doing, Jason?
I'm awesome, thanks.
You are awesome. Thanks for joining, sir. And speaking of awesome, the godfather of Mutants and Masterminds, Mr. John Lighthouser, is with us tonight.
Hey, everybody.
Godfather voice, I guess. I don't know.
That was a really awful godfather voice.
Yeah, it was. I just as I started speaking, I decided to do it, and then I was like, that wasn't at all the godfather.
This is John Lighthouser, the Eeyore of Mutants and Masterminds.
Well, you didn't have to go that far.
Sorry. Cookie Monster?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, yeah. Everyone wants Cookie Monster.
Or Marvin the Robot. He was doing a pretty good Marvin the Robot there, too.
So, Marvin the android. Well, hey, guys, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
You guys are on the first... yeah, it's the first Fainting Goat podcast, of 2013. So, yay!
Hooray! How many podcasts did you do last year, Mike?
I don't count, Jason. It's more than 12 and less than 40. How about that?
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I kind of got my seat in my pants. I feel like it'd be a good show. So, I don't know if somebody want to talk to something interesting going on in superhero RPGs. Yeah, I just set it up. So I don't really have a plan. I'm kind of a hobbyist. If I had a plan, maybe things would seem more organized. But I like it all organic and funky. So yeah.
So I did ask for you a New Year's resolution for the podcast.
Well, I'm going to be having a baby in 2 months.
Congratulations!
Oh, thank you. So I'll be doing a lot less of them after that.
Yes, you will.
You have any kids, Jan?
Do I? No, no.
Oh, okay.
In fact, my wife and I are trying to do that now, so.
That's the fun part. Yeah.
I mean, not as we speak.
I was going to say, you just introduced an interesting element to the conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe I should leave you two alone.
We do have fun here, so. Well, hey, John is here because he's... like I said, he's the guy who runs Mutants and Masterminds, and the best role-playing game, The Superheroes, out today. And, Icons is good, too. But, you know, anyway, Mutants and Masterminds.
You know, John, before we go any further, that I love the crap out of this game. I have run, we had the only Mutants and Masterminds online mush. I don't know if you know what this is. It's like a MUD.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had hundreds of players on that game. And I was the lead GM for it. And we ran that sucker for a couple of years. It was called Crucible City.
Oh.
And it was first edition M&M, because we started up second edition, because we started up right after the second edition rules came out. And we had lots of players, and they ran their own games, and they role-played the snot out of that stuff, and we had a wonderful setting, and it was so much fun, and the game was so wonderful, and there was so many tools there for players to get a hold of and kind of make it their own, and it catered to all sorts of different kinds of players, and the game mechanics, and the role players, and the actors, and the, you know, all, so many different, the gimmick people that just wanted to come up with some sort of fancy bizarro power that no one had ever thought of before, and it was just really versatile, and so it's really exciting to see that the game is flourishing after 10 years, and it's got a new edition, and it's got a bright future ahead of it, and that's awesome.
Well, thanks. That was a great ad.
I'm here to please, man, but it's all true.
Yeah, no, it's pretty remarkable how the staying power of M&M has been, and I think it's because we've had, the initial release was sort of a... Chris and Steve kind of stumbled upon something that worked really well and had a decent idea of where to go next with it. And then Steve did a really good job of developing second edition.
Yep.
And I think it was probably a good thing to get somebody new in to do the development for the third edition of the game, just to give it a kind of a new personality.
Yep.
And I think that's really helped to kind of keep everything moving forward and keep things fresh. So I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I do. And I haven't been able to run as much of the third edition as I would like, but everything that I have read, I mean, you know, like a lot of gamers out there, I have more time to read game books than I have to play them.
Yeah, that happens like in your mid-20s to early 30s, where all of a sudden it's like, I have all these games, and I don't get to play them as much as I used to.
Yeah, and when I do get time to play, I have, you know, I have to, a lot of my players are brand new to the gaming,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of recognize D&D, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what they sort of go home to. Like, well, what are we going to play? Well, of course we're going to play D&D, because anything else is even weirder, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I had, on the opposite hand, I have, like, some old hardcore, old-school gamers that I play Ars Magica with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's not – I haven't yet found the happy medium in between where we can sort of nerd out, but we don't need to go old-school.
Well, hey, now that we are all basking in the warm glow of Jason's love for Mutants and Masterminds, this will be a great time to ask John. John, what's up? This is the New Year podcast. What's happening in the New Year with Mutants and Masterminds?
Well, the first thing we've got coming is the actual physical book release of the Supernatural Handbook, which should be in stores as of the middle of this month.
Mm-hmm.
We actually received it into the warehouse last month and couldn't get it out before Christmas, and so we said, let's just hold on to this until after the new year.
Yeah.
So that's wending its way to the stores now. And so that should be pretty exciting, because I've had a copy of the book for a little while now, and it's really a nice-looking book. Related to that, in non-specifically M&M news, the person that we hired to do the art direction on that book, Pauline Benny, actually is going to be coming on as a full-time part-timer for us, an actual M&M or actual Green Ronin employee,
mm-hmm.
To take some of the art duties off of Hal Mangold, who's been the lone art person for quite a few years now.
How big is the staff at Green Ronin?
I think with Pauline, we're at, I think, 11.
Okay.
Do you guys
have, like, a central office? I mean, do you all live in the same town?
No, we're virtual. So Pauline is down, I believe, in Tampa. Hal is in the D.C. area. Chris, Nicole, myself, Mark Schmaltz, and Evan Sass are all here in Seattle. And the two names you don't recognize there are the web guys and the tech guys.
Sure, yeah.
And then Joe Carricker, who does the Song of Ice and Fireline, is in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Just freshly to Portland. He actually was in Atlanta part of last year. Steve's up in, God, I want to say New Hampshire, but I am not 100% sure that's true.
I know he's northeast somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if that's actually the state. I think it is. So, yeah, we're all over the place. We're all over the place.
Well, cool, cool. So glad to see Supernatural coming out, because that was a great PDF.
Yeah, we interviewed the writer of that book.
Yeah, Lucian.
Yeah, Lucian.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a lot of interesting things to say.
The other person who is also now on staff, we did have Will Hindmarch as our Dragon Age and Age system developer, but he's going off to do his own stuff now. And Jack Norris is actually taking over that role.
Oh, that's a good guy. That's cool. Glad to hear.
Congratulations to Jack.
Yeah, so that'll all be in the news, I think, as of today, as this gets posted. Chris was going to post some news about it.
Today being Monday, January the 7th.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not today, Saturday, when this is being recorded.
We are time travelers here.
It's true.
Although we're closer to Bill and Ted than Doctor Who, if we
really ineffective time travelers.
we travel time like everybody else does.
Yeah.
So Jack will be in charge of the Dragon Age stuff?
Yeah, so the Dragon Age stuff will be under Jack's purview, and then we're also working on other things for the Age system, so adapting that to other settings and all sorts of good stuff that we're working on.
Yeah, Jack is mighty, so you guys made a good call there. He writes really incredible stuff.
Yeah, yeah, he's quite good.
So, well, cool. So that's what happened at the Ronin, and we're glad things are going well there. You just had, like, a colossally successful Kickstarter for Mutants and Masterminds.
Yeah, and that's actually probably the next thing after the I'm not 100% sure of the order, actually, but after the Supernatural Handbook, that is certainly the first thing on my list to get done, because there's a few things that need to be written or be edited and then sent to the art team so they can actually do the layout to get that book out either next or after. In fact, let me look at my list here. So I think actually the Deluxe Heroes Handbook is going to be the next thing, which was what the subject of that Kickstarter was.
Okay.
And then after that will be the Emerald City slipcase, which has been a while coming as well.
Well, cool, cool. Now, I'm sure you guys are updating your Kickstarter backers regularly and whatnot, but do you have any kind of ETA on when the Deluxe Hero Handbook's coming out?
Yeah, I think the hope is that it will be either within this first... it can't be within this first quarter. It's got to be somewhere like, I'll say March-ish, March, April would be my guess.
Okay.
As to when it comes out. So, we've got, let's see, I just rewrote with Leon Chang's help a bunch of the archetypes, or most of, I think, 19 of the archetypes that are appearing in the Quickstart character generator.
Which is a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's really a great, great little product. And those are anything from, like, slight edits to, hey, this actually resulted in a character of the wrong power level type fixes. And then some actual new stuff. So I added a density changer to the shapeshifter list and a couple other things. So we just cleaned things up and then made some additions so there's even a few more options in there for players.
Now, for folks who have not joined in, on the, is the Kickstarter still open or is it closed?
It is closed quite a while ago, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
November 19th.
Well, yeah, okay.
I was going to say
it's got to be before December.
Okay.
And it's...
So we're just waiting for stuff to come out now.
Yep, just waiting for stuff to come out. We're working on the essays that need to go in there. I have some... I don't think everyone has contacted me, but there was a sponsorship level that people got to have their... had a character posted on the M&M website.
Yeah.
To kind of say, hey, here's some great characters that you can make with M&M, and here's a character somebody really loved, and we're going to put it up here and show it some love. And I've talked to a number of those people and have some write-ups in hand, and Steve and I need to go over those and do a little bit of development work to make sure everything works out right and that we're presenting the character correctly from the creator's point of view.
Yeah.
And then we'll get those posted. I think our goal is to do that right around the March time period so that it's there's some updates there right before the book comes out.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so somewhere early in second quarter.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's probably the most realistic estimate.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Yeah. All right, cool, cool. Hey, something else just came up on my Kickstarter activity feed that you guys probably know about, but I'll throw it out there because it's kind of cool. The Fate Core Kickstarter, Green Ronin's gotten involved, and
right.
It's like Freeport is going to be ported over to Fate Core.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a cool thing. We've kind of let Freeport lay fallow for a while, and this is kind of our first stab at doing something new with it, which is to do an adaptation of the Freeport Companion for this new Fate edition, or the Fate Core game.
Yeah,
and hopefully that'll drum up some interest in Freeport because I know there's a lot of Freeport fans out there, but it's kind of sat for a while now, so we're happy to get stuff back out there for it.
Cool. Wow. I hate to say it, but that makes me wonder if other settings you guys have might be adapted to Fate Core someday. But I'm guessing those are probably fanciful conversations to happen over drink at Gen Con rather than anything that might.
Yeah, I think simply because it's like we have three game systems that we already own and run,
right.
That are really very different game systems. We've got the Song of Ice and Fire, the Chronicle system, mm-hmm. the H system, and the M&M system. And I think we want to start dealing with putting stuff out for another system. But we have done quite a few of the Fate or the Freeport companions for a few different systems. Got a Pathfinder Freeport companion, a Savage Worlds. I know there's more of them.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few of them already out there.
Oh, cool.
You start to get in a situation where you're competing with yourself.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is we have settings that we want to concentrate on, and we're still actually trying to figure out exactly what we want to do with Freeport going forward. Like, is it going to be rolled into another world? Do we want to keep it as its own thing and start creating some new product, and, you know, what system would that use, and who knows, maybe with the advent of D&D Next, or whatever that ends up actually being called, I don't know if that's a code name or not, but who knows, it might fall back into that.
Yeah.
The future is uncertain.
Yes, very uncertain, but it's definitely a product line that Chris and everybody here at Chris Primus and everybody here at Green Running really likes. So,
okay, cool. Hey, I want to make sure we don't give short shrift to the slipcover Emerald City release. When did we say that was coming out?
That will be after the Deluxe Heroes Handbook. So my estimate is probably beginning of summer. I would like it to be earlier than that, but I don't know what the schedule really is going to look like.
So, go ahead.
It's a pretty good looking book. We've been seeing a lot of art roll in, and it's looking pretty nice.
All right, so this is going to be you're going to have the Heroes Handbook, the GM's Guide, and it'll actually have the setting book for Emerald City.
Yeah, so the three books in the slipcase is the Big Adventure that we released last year as PDF. So that's going to be its own book, the Emerald City Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a book that's specifically written for the players to read, which has a lot of really good information and should help them both come up with ideas for characters.
Yeah.
And ways to tie them into the setting or ways to expand on the setting. You know, so there's quite a bit of stuff in there that players can look at and draw inspiration from. And then there's more of the secretive behind-the-scenes stuff and fleshed-out information. So there might be a part of town that the player reads and is like, oh, this is the new money part of town. And the GM reads that section and gets a very different piece of information.
Okay, makes sense. Cool. And so you said summer on that one, and we'll probably see the PDFs first, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, excellent. Okay, and last time we had Steve on, he kind of dropped a dime about a cosmic book.
Yes, the Cosmic Handbook.
Yeah. And can we say anything about that, or just there's a Cosmic Handbook, and at some point it'll be released?
There is a Cosmic Handbook, and at some point it'll be released. I think my goal is to have that out for Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's actually where it sits on the schedule, and of course I don't have the schedule in front of me, but we have a bad habit of letting things slip, so my goal is to have it out around then, and I think I have about 75 to 90% of the contents in my hot little hands right here.
Okay.
And it just needs to be read through and edited, and we had some good people on that. So, Christopher McLaughlin.
Can you tell us anything about the sort of vision of the project or how it'll fit into a GM's campaign?
Yeah, we actually kind of took a slightly, sort of similar to the approach we did with Emerald City in that we wanted to. So there's always been this cosmic setting in the Freedom City universe, but we haven't really explored it too much. And so what we did with the advent of this book is to kind of shake things up a little bit. So we took everything, you know, it's all still out there, but some big bad thing has just happened.
Yeah.
And that's shaken up the cosmic universe, you know, the cosmic portion of the universe.
Sure.
So it's a little more Wild West in terms of, you know, you don't have all these people who own this section of the universe and that section of the universe. Now there's some big bad things happened, and that shook up the leadership and the different empires that are out there.
And it creates more opportunity for the player characters to shine.
Yeah, exactly. Create more opportunity for the player characters, more opportunity for the GMs to come up with stories that they want to tell.
Yeah.
They're not so tied down by canon.
Yep.
And, you know, just loosen things up a little bit, but still leave plenty of room for people to do their own thing. And, you know, it's in some ways, it's probably very similar to what happened in the Marvel Universe, the cosmic part of the Marvel Universe a few years ago, where they really kind of break some characters over the holes. It shook things up quite a bit. So
the Annihilation event, that was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you say that this is a kind of editorial direction for third edition as a whole?
Yeah, I think I mean, it certainly was with the Emerald City setting. When I was talking to Steve about it, I said, listen, this is kind of what I think, and we've talked about it a few times even on podcasts, where, you know, all the niches were filled in the Freedom City setting, and I kind of wanted to avoid that in Emerald City, because I wanted players to be able to come to the table and be like, I want to play the Batman character, I want to play the Superman character, I want to play the Spider-Man character, you know, like, whatever they want to be, let's leave that open so that they can step into that role and define it for themselves, because I think that's the fun part, right? You don't want to play second fiddle when you're the player character.
Well, in my experience, and you know, as I said, this is only my own personal experience, I can't speak for anybody else, but what happens is when you have all the sort of traditional character types filled, what you end up, the players end up doing is sort of reaching for the odd.
Yeah.
They all end up sort of acting out and creating bizarre characters because they want to be original.
Yeah.
And they feel like, well, I don't want to just be, you know, Kid Lightning Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll make the squid or something bizarre, you know.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. And so our goal with Emerald City was to do just that. And then, you know, as Steve and I talked about it more, we kind of said, you know, this, you know, it's appealed to people. Like, they've really enjoyed that aspect of things.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to kind of continue that, and Steve was totally on board. In fact, he may have been the one to say, hey, let's do a similar sort of thing with the cosmic setting.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't specifically set out to be that in third edition, but it's kind of grown to be that in some of the setting books.
Now, before the podcast, you had mentioned Gadget Guides were going to be making a, if I'm not mistaken, that's a retail.
Oh, yeah.
Because those were around for first edition, right?
We had Gimmick's Guide to Gadgets.
That's right.
Okay.
Which was a book written by Mike Merles, actually, back for first edition. And so we're doing the Gadget Guide, which is going to be a bi-weekly series of PDFs, and we're launching those in February. In fact, I have one or two of those sitting on my hard drive right now to read over and get comments back to Steve. And I believe the first one will be all about robots.
Oh, right on.
I like robots.
Yeah. And so they're going to be, you know, in the 5 to 6 page range, just like the power profiles, and they cover basically how to write up a robot, what robots are good at, or, you know, what depends on the gadget. So if we're talking about whatever archaic weapons, it'll have a nice grocery list of weapons that you could just pick and say, oh, well, I want to use this, and here's a small description of how it works. And so they'll vary a little bit more than the power profiles did, because there's a wide range of subjects that we're going to cover with those.
So I'm guessing those small PDF releases have been a gamble that paid off for you guys?
Yeah. They're really nice, because they don't sell thousands of copies by any stretch, but kind of the way we look at it is they end up paying for the art, which is good, because I should say even more importantly, it lets people know the game is still here and alive and going, and you know, it takes whatever, a couple of hours a week from Steve and I to create one of these things, and Hal. But it's really nice, because it keeps people engaged. There's always something new to talk about. You know, I don't expect everybody in the world who plays M&M to download these things. But if there's something that, you know, piques their interest, it's there for them. And that's really what we want to kind of keep going forward. So.
Well, I do think that it definitely helps the game to have sort of frequent updates. I mean, even if they're small.
Yeah. Well, and they've been really great, too, because we've learned a lot as we've done these series of PDFs, you know, just the feedback from the fans on what they're looking for and how we should do things and how we shouldn't do things. And so it's been a really great process.
At the risk of embarrassing you, can you share any of that? I mean, like,
absolutely.
What have you learned to do and to not do from some of this fan feedback?
Well, what we learned really early on, in some of the stuff Aaron Sullivan had written for us, and this was totally my fault, I said, hey, you've got this team of villains, let's do one villain a week, and it'll be like, hey, this is the month of the Cyber Tribe. And people were like, you know, if I don't want the Cyber Tribe, that means, like, that's 4 or 5 weeks that there's content that I just don't care about.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you know, that's probably right. So from after that second or third month that we did the Cyber Tribe, it was like 2 or 3 months into the releases of the power profiles is what I mean. It wasn't 2 or 3 months long. I said, okay, now on if we do a team of villains, it's going to be a single PDF, or if there's a large group of villains, it's going to be a couple of PDFs. So that's kind of how we approached it from then on. And that's certainly the most obvious change that we made as we were working on that series, the threat reports.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then in the power profiles, it was really just a matter of people weren't really interested. I mean, obviously, weren't really interested in, like, oh, here's how you write up an energy blast that is fire. Here's one for darkness. Here's one for... But that was something that we kind of needed to include for the people who are new to the game to say, hey, you know, just because this is whatever magnetism doesn't mean you can't do a physical energy blast or an energy blast.
Yeah.
This is just how you would do it.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing to keep in there, because I know when I played with, you know, new gamers who, you know, haven't done Mutants and Masterminds before, sometimes character creation can be, you know, intimidating. And if you can just, you know, point them to instant superheroes or power profiles, which is kind of its spiritual successor, if you will, takes a lot of load off.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just said spiritual successor, like I'm intelligent and college educated and stuff. I'm pretty proud of it. So,
well done.
Hey, thanks. That college education was not wasted. Cool. So we've covered Kickstarter, gadget guides, the Cosmic Book, talked about the Deluxe Hero Handbook, which go along with Kickstarter, and we worked in the slipcover. So have we run the full gamut of what the plans are for Mutants and Masterminds for 2013, or is there one or two things still kind of hanging out there?
There is indeed one or two things. So as I said, the gadget guides are biweekly. And alternating with that, we are going to be releasing a number of Wild Cards characters for 3rd edition.
Oh, sweet.
So we still have the Wild Cards license from George R.R. Martin, who is one of our very good supporters and our licensor.
I used to run that campaign in GURPS back when it was a GURPS license.
Oh, yeah. That was quite a while ago.
We played that. I was an undergrad back at University of Nevada at Reno, when we played, we had all kinds of Wild Cards characters, most of which I should not discuss on the radio, because it being Wild Cards, a lot of it was extraordinarily profane and vulgar, because that's what Wild Cards was in many ways.
That happens.
Yeah.
But we've got a series of Wild Cards releases coming out, which are going to be sort of similar to the threat report and how they're presented, but they're going to be called Scream Sheets. No, that's not right. It's Scare Sheets. There is a group in the world of Wild Cards called Scare. I forget exactly right now what the... I'm sure I can find it online, but the acronym means something.
Senate Committee for Ace Resources and Endeavors.
There you go. Senate Committee for Ace Resources and Endeavors. That's exactly what I was going to say. So we're coming up with scare sheets, which are going to present a bunch of wild card characters from the most recent Wild Cards books, Inside Straight, Busted Flush, Suicide Kings, and Fort Freak, for 3rd edition. And we'll also have a PDF to go along with that converts some of the rules for playing in Wild Cards to 3rd edition too.
Excellent. That's a really cool idea. I was afraid that license might have been shuffled off at the end of second ed. I'm glad to hear it is still alive.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah. Shuffled off. No, it's one of those lines that we'd like to see keep going. I mean, it was not the biggest sales bonanza for us ever, but we all really like the books and think it's a great setting, and I know there are a lot of Wild Cards fans out there, but we also want to kind of keep it in people's minds because we might be able to take advantage of a TV series if one ever comes to be, because I know it's been optioned And, you know, George R. R. Martin has another series that people may have heard of that's been pretty successful.
Yeah, I heard of that guy. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not a cultural phenomenon or anything, but it's, you know, people know about it.
You know, it's pretty cold out here. I think that cold time of the year is approaching.
That's right.
All right, well, cool. So nice hint about possible wildcard TV series. You heard it here, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, I don't think that was a secret. I think that's out there somewhere.
That's been in development hell, but yeah. Probably got some new velocity with Game of Thrones being so successful. So
yeah,
we shall see.
So you said a couple of things. We have the wild card stuff. Is there something else?
I may have misspoken. So let's see here: Cosmic Handbook, Wild Cards, Gadget Guide, Emerald City, Deluxe Heroes Handbook. Let's see, Supernatural book. Oh, and we will be doing a PDF version, I believe, earlier in the year of the power profiles from last year, and then we will also be doing a printed book probably a little later in the year.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Just gets them all together?
Yeah, exactly. So
my book at last.
Yep, we need to stitch them together, and then we'll do a book when we can get that into the schedule, because I know I'm actually really excited to see that come out.
Yeah, I'm a Dead Tree Edition guy. I still am.
Yep.
Well, cool. Is it okay to ask if we're going to see some Freedom City characters converted to Third Ed, or is that kind of going on with Kickstarter?
So there are going to be a number of characters from earlier editions converted and included in the Deluxe Heroes Handbook, but we are pulling the Kickstarter backers to see who exactly they want those 10 characters to be. We have a pretty good list. Let me see if I can actually find that. We have not pulled them yet. Let's see if I have that list. Let me just search here.
These are characters from previous editions, and you had a poll, and people got to pick.
Yeah, we haven't had the poll yet. We need to.
Oh, I see.
So let's.
But only 10.
I do. Damocles, I know, is on the list. Character selection. Here we go. So we have a bunch of characters here, and I think this is the list we are going to give to people. And so they can vote on these and choose 10 of them. And we may also put this poll up on the regular M&M site or the Atomic Think Tank forum.
Yeah.
Just for people to discuss and talk about. But the list we have right now is the Atomic Brain, Damocles, Geppetto, Remlock the Rover, Omega, the Scorpio Circle, which is from the Noir book, Talos, Overshadow, Jack of Knives, Orion the Hunter, Argo, Baron Semedy, Malador the Mystic, Silencer, Knockoff, the Pugilist, Gimmick, Protonic, a team called the Bestiary from the Crooks book, and a team called the Click or the Clique.
Yeah, I remember. Okay, so how did somebody get on that list?
So it was what people had suggested to us, either as backers or as on the Atomic Think Tank, and people we thought would be interesting. And more importantly, when people suggested some of the characters from the Meta 4 universe, we went to Eric Mona and the other people involved with Super Unicorn and said, hey, people are interested in us converting these. Are you guys cool with that? And they said, sure. So it's...
Photonic and Atomic Brain got in.
Exactly. And the Pugilist and Knockoff. And there's a few characters on there.
Yeah,
so it's quite a... smattering from all over the place. And
but no Freedom Leaguers, for example.
No Freedom Leaguers because we know we're going to do them. It may be a while yet. Like, I imagine not in 2013, but for 2014, we'll probably do a whole Freedom City
thing. Okay. All right.
Which I don't think will surprise anyone to hear that we would, you know, revisit Freedom City, and we'll probably have 5 or 6 years pass in the timeline and change some things up, and it should be pretty entertaining to do.
And then Fourth Ed?
No, I don't know. I don't think anybody's clamoring for Fourth Edition yet. So I think Third Edition seems to be doing just fine, and we are happy to support the line as long as we have ideas to continue supporting it, and I think we may be okay for a while yet.
I was just being a smartass, forgive me.
Yeah, well, it's one of those questions that certainly it's, I mean, if we were talking D&D, we would be talking a new edition already, because it's about every 5 years they do one, so.
Boy, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, all right, well, cool, cool. Well, hey, been talking for about an hour. That's usually how long we do these. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up?
Let's see. I'm a backer of the Fainting Goat Kickstarter, so I'm wondering where's your stuff sitting?
Right now, we delayed a month so we could convert to Great Power, which is...
That's right. Okay.
But we don't want people to get worried that the Kickstarter is going to leave them high and dry and make them wait for a year or anything crazy. So we're going to release the text versions with the original icon stats starting once every 2 weeks, probably in the last week or two of January. And then 4 weeks after that, we will start with that same kind of schedule, you know, or release every 2 weeks, starting second, third, or fourth week of the month, we'll start releasing the laid out books with all the beautiful art and whatnot. So it's, we've been wanting to get more previews up, but that's the latest right now. I've got artists and writers working feverishly. Actually, Jason and I were talking about it before he came on the podcast tonight. So we're
Silver City is going to be awesome.
Jason missed his true calling in PR, I think.
No, well, I really enjoyed working on it. So I this is not the podcast to talk about it, but when that time does come, I can't wait to talk about it because it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm actually really looking forward to seeing that, to see how you guys approached city creation differently or similarly to how we did in Emerald City, how it's executed.
My hunch is that the main difference you're going to find is the modularity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Emerald City is sort of this, I mean, it's a three-book slipcover, for Christ's sakes, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sort of presenting individual menu items, and you've gone fixed price.
Yeah. So, actually, what's interesting is when I first was talking about this setting, yeah? I wanted to do a more modular approach, and then... It morphed into simply because I think that's how people use any setting or any adventure or anything in gaming, right? They pick the pieces that they want to use and they drop it into the setting. I think you can still do that with the Emerald City stuff, but that it didn't turn out once we started going to town on everything the way I had originally intended, but it still is... I think going to be a really good book, but I think it's a great idea.
Jason, go ahead.
Oh, the big books, the big set like you're making.
Mm-hmm.
What that does is it invites a new campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It invites the GM and the players, or the GM alone, to say, "Okay, I'm going to run this world," and he pulls everybody in. It's, okay, you all live in Emerald City, and here's your situation, and you know, let's all make characters.
Yep.
Whereas the modular approach that we're doing with Stark, it's easier to sort of fold into the game you're already running.
Mm-hmm.
Although we're also trying to cover the kind of new campaign launch as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that, so. What you'll find is that it is modular, and so it tends to have it's very thematic, sort of by section.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a DM and you know that your players only like the dark and gritty, they want to all be sort of Punisher vigilante types, then you know what sections of the city you need to buy so that you get exactly what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a great approach. So.
Well, I sure hope we don't disappoint you. We're working hard on it right now.
Oh, I hope so too.
Why must you play on my all too obvious insecurities?
I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. All right, Jason. Anything else you want to chip in before we call it a night?
Oh no, it's been a real pleasure. And Jonna, thank you very much for coming and for answering all of my nosy questions.
Yeah, no problem at all. Happy to do it, especially since it ties into our plans.
Very good.
We're glad to aid and abet however we can.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for being here. And, folks, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.